If I could have your attention for a second, we'll get our forum started for this evening. I'm John Gaylor, part of the Chamber of Commerce crew. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. The participation tonight in the audience, I think, is just spectacular. It shows the interest we have in this community and the caring concern we all have. We have 9 candidates tonight that are running for commissioner. I don't know of a time we've ever had that many. I think the same thing. It shows the interest and the concern of everyone for us, our fair town. We have 3 people running for mayor, and I'm saying ballgame. I'm not sure if I can't remember a time we've had 3 on the ballot one time before. So that's a big deal, and to have everybody here tonight is a very important thing. I'd ask, I guess first off, we'll do some housekeeping chores. It's like a movie theater, if we can turn off the cell phones. I find them a major distraction, especially if you're trying to talk in front of everybody, so if we can get those off to start with. I also feel, you know, the purpose we're here tonight is to, our purpose of the chamber tonight is to try to get you guys some information, get the voters some more knowledge about the candidates. We call this a forum, and basically what the rules that we're going to have tonight is the commissioner candidates, since there's 9 of them, and it's pretty complicated to try to do questions on all 9 at one time. We're going to allow them just to come up. They get 4 minutes each. They can talk about any topic they want to. Why they feel that people should support them, issues of the city. I do request that we don't make any personal attacks. That's I think it's pretty standard, and people understand that anyway. I hope we save issues tonight and inform the public. I think that's important. The way we're going to do the clocks, I've already talked to all our candidates and everybody. We have Randy Leakham will run the stopwatch for us. David Ronan, he has a contraption over here. It's a wonderful lighting thing, and basically when the white light comes on, our candidates have 1 minute till in, the red lights come on, and they need to be down. So in light of that, I think we can probably get the restaurant. That's good. How we're going to address the issue tonight, too, basically, I kept debating how we're going to do this alphabetical order or anything. We're going to go by the order the candidates are on the ballot. And I think that was done by a draw to set them on the ballot in the first place, so I think that's how we'll start things tonight. And with that, I can get out of the way for a little bit. Our first candidate this evening, I didn't want to make this one or thing too. This is the candidate's night to inform you. We don't have audience questions. I know a lot of people want to ask stuff. All the candidates will be around afterwards. I know all of them are going to stay here and we'll happily address any issues you want to talk about, but in the interest of tying this thing together and making it cohesive and making everybody knowledgeable and giving them enough time to talk about stuff, you know, the candidates are doing the talking tonight. This is their forum. So, under that regard, Richard Small is our first candidate for city commissioner. Richard, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, fellow candidates. Let's like to take the first 15 seconds to say thank you to the Journal News and the Chamber of Commerce for sponsoring such an event. As a former government teacher, this is what it's all about, participation. Nobody has the right to complain if they don't do things like that, register and vote. I would suspect that all of you are registered voters. Then get behind a candidate and back them. If you're not, become a candidate. Here I am as a candidate. First, I'd like to share just a few facts about our situation in the community of Hillsborough. Joyce and I moved here in 1997, and shortly after that, I coined a phrase that David Yokel used in a Roger Jennings ad on the radio. Historic Hospitable Hillsborough, HHS. And I still envision some billboards out on I-55 that attracts people over here. So number one, we have a historical community. Some of you proved that by contributing to the establishment of Lincoln Plaza and the statue there. We have some beautiful historic homes in this community, and we need to do whatever we can to preserve them. We have some financial challenges in front of us. I've done quite a bit of research in the last few days. Many people have expressed a concern about the approximately $18 million of bonded indebtedness. That is all on the water and sewer plants, and there's a separate bond on just the sewer plant of $2.4 million. These are called revenue bonds. And you are not issued those bonds without pre-approval from the bonding company of a revenue source to offset them. So the revenue source is already the fees that you pay for your water and sewer automatically going to that by statute. And there is no limit to what that bonded indebtedness can be with revenue bonds. But you have to prove that you have a revenue source for paying it back. Now, other bonds, we have some, right now we have approximately $500,000 in other indebtedness for various projects and purchases done by the city. Those range in interest from 4.0 to 5.5% for various equipment purchases. Those are being liquidated by funds obtained through the general revenue. Now, I did some research through the Illinois Municipal League. The fact is, we all know the state of Illinois is in terrible financial shape. You look at the chart that shows from about the last 5 years, our per capita share of revenues coming from the state of Illinois has gradually gone down, and it will continue to go down. That's a fact, folks. It's a fact. It will not start to go back up until sometime after year 2016, probably, is the projection. The per capita income. That's your motor fuel tax, your sales tax, your carpet taxes. Now, we have an opportunity, and that's what I look at, not a challenge, but an opportunity here in Hillsboro to start doing things that will conclude bringing some of that sales tax back. Let me just conclude with a few facts about myself. I am an experienced grant writer. I have experience dealing with budgets of large numbers. In 1970, $1980 in the $7 or $8 billion a year. Now, Mark Noyce tells me that's the $30 million bracket. I have experience in managing large groups of people, 125 staff members under my direct management. I have experience in making tough, tough decisions. I would intend, when elected, to begin a item-by-item audit of all of our expenses. I have no preference over which things we audit, but look at every line item. Did this as a school superintendent, we could do it as a commissioner. We must start looking at pennies in order to save nickels and dimes, which add up to dollars. It's your tax dollars. None of us can afford to pay more taxes. We have to start figuring out ways to bring it to an end. Think big, vote small.
Thank you, Richard. Bruce Holcomb is next.
First, I'd like to thank the Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce and the General Leaders for sponsoring this forum. And it's great to see a crowd out here like this. I didn't expect quite this many people, but it's wonderful to hear everybody show up like this. First, I'd like to address some positive things our city has offered. We have an outstanding school system, second to none. We have very capable teachers, administrators, and support personnel. We have wonderful medical facilities, very capable doctors and nurses. A hospital is something to behold, modern, and very well equipped to serve our needs. We have nursing homes in our community and a lovely assisted living facility. We have two lakes, would bring many people to town and provide us with recreation and also ample water supplies. We have churches of many denominations to serve our religious needs. We have the Fusion, which is a big plus for a community of our size for all of our physical fitness needs out here by the hospital. And I'm proud that Hillsboro is a city of volunteers, where many people raise money for people in need and help in many other ways. If our people see a need, they pitch in and help. And I think they are to be commended for that, and I'm very proud. Our council, under the leadership of Mayor Barron, has made some very positive improvements the last few years. Just named a few items, a new water tower, a new water treatment plant, and annexation of the Grand Correctional Center. And what that Grand Correctional Center, in two ways, it really helps. First, with the increase in population, it puts it over 5,000 in population, which makes us eligible for more grant money. The second thing is, the motor fuel tax money is money we receive from the state is based on population. Now, with that population increase in the prisoners, we receive several thousands of dollars more. So So I want to thank the President Mayor and the Council for those items. I'm sure the existing council and the citizens of Hillsborough would agree that much more needs to be done in our community. We have some industrial jobs in our city and the surrounding area. We have many people who call Hillsborough their homes, but work out of town. I believe we must do all we can to make Hillsborough a beautiful place to live and raise our families and attract other people to make Hillsborough their homes. I believe we need to improve our services to our residents, as they are the ones that provide the money through their taxes for our town. We need to implement a regular pickup yard waste for our citizens. We need to improve our infrastructure. We have water and sewer lines that are very old, and may soon need additional repair and replacement. We need to plan for this. There's a need for upkeep and improvement on our streets, our sidewalks, and curbing needs repair and replacement. I also believe that it would help to strengthen our existing ordinances concerning abandoned homes and buildings and derelict vehicles and public nuisance. Now, this is just a partial list of the new city council needs to address. There's many other items that need to be addressed besides that. On a personal note, I just want to mention, I grew up in Dalton and went to Hillsborough Community High School. I worked in Hillsborough since 1953. I've seen many changes in Hillsborough, some good and some not so good. After I was discharged from Aaron, I got married and moved to Hillsborough. We bought a house that I've lived in for almost 48 years. Judy and I raised 5 children, all of whom went to Hillsborough schools. I now have 6 grandchildren, also attending local schools. I ran my own business in Hillsborough for many years, and I'm a part-time worker still. And I'm grateful to the people who have supported me in this community. I want my children and your children to be able to enjoy living in Hillsborough like I have. But for this to happen, everyone in Hillsborough needs to pitch in and help. It needs to be a community thing to be done. I thank you for allowing me to express my views. I have 9 years of previous experience on the Hillsborough City Council, and I feel that I can help lead Hillsborough in a positive direction for the future. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. Rusty Kirby is our next commissioner candidate. Come up.
I'm probably one of the least known that's running for office. I'm the guy that don't have any signs in anybody's yard. So I'm going to introduce myself a little bit. John said I'm Rusty Kirby. I was born and raised in Litchfield. My mom and dad were Jim and Darlene. If you ever went to the lake over there, you probably met them. I moved over here about 25 years ago now. Retired from the prison out there. My wife and I have been married about 20 years, had 1 daughter, 1 grandchild. I served in the Army after I graduated high school, was in the 233rd Military Police Company, Blood and Desert Storm. There are some things I believe that this community needs to improve on. As Bruce said, some of our sidewalks are in horrible shape, but also we're going to have to find money to be able to do that. I believe that we need to promote our lakes, our park, our camping grounds. They're probably some of the finer ones around. I believe they're as good, if not better, than the ones in Litchfield, and I spent a lot of time over there when I was younger, so I know what I'm talking about there. I believe that downtown needs to be revitalized. We've let some of the buildings go, not to anyone's fault in the previous councils, but I believe that maybe we can get some smaller businesses to come in and help out there. We need to see about getting something down there with Alco. There's got to be some way of getting some type of businesses been here. We don't need large established businesses. We just need mom and pop type of businesses that can at least get a tax base in this community. It's a beautiful community. I also think that we've got an opportunity to start anew. There's going to be, if Mr. Shear gets reelected, there's going to be at least 3 new candidates that are going to be commissioners. There's going to be a new mayor. So, you know, there's going to be some fresh ideas, and that's what I want to be a part of. I'm standing here today just to ask for your vote. You know, if you don't want to support me, that's fine. I can understand that. but I just ask you to get out and vote. Support the man that you feel is going to be the best. You know, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm going to do this to that department. I'm not going to look at, I'm going to look at all of them. You know, they all maybe need some help. I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to say I'm going to repair this or repair that when I don't know what's broke. And until I get elected, that's all I can do. I'm not going to stand up here any much longer now and take up any more of your time. I just ask that you give me a chance to represent you on the City Council of Hillsborough. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Rusty. Our next candidate up is Chris Shearer.
Thanks, John. Hillsborough's at a crucial point in its history. The city council that we elect next week is going to be making decisions that affect the city for generations to come. We have a new coal mine that's about ready to take off. We have a bank that has been a downtown anchor tenant of our community for years, making plans to reaffirm that commitment and by building a new banking center. And we have a downtown fixture that's being rehabilitated under new ownership after nearly a decade of deterioration. So Hillsborough is showing signs of life, no matter what else is going on in the rest of the country. Therefore, the next city council's challenge will be to stay ahead of the curve. It will need to be proactive instead of reactive. It will have to forsake immediate gratification in favor of long-term good, and it must plan for the future instead of dwelling in the past. In short, the time has come for Hillsborough to reinvent and redefine itself. I'm excited that I might have this opportunity to help lay out those plans. The key to those plans is to get a grip on the city's finances. Once upon a time, times were good. Once upon a time, grant money was flowing from the state and federal government. Those times are memory. And adopting a business mentality for operating our government is vital to our future. The goal for the next city council should be to become more self-sufficient and create a budget that is sustainable for years to come so that the unavailability of funds from other levels of government has less of an immediate impact on us. To that end, we need to spend more wisely and be better stewards of taxpayer dollars. We need to get the most out of every dollar we have. The next city council needs to be more fiscally responsible, reform bad habits, and otherwise be accountable to the community that it represents in order to secure the city's future. Next week's election provides an opportunity for our city government to reinvent itself, and it must be reinvented in order to restore the people's trust in our government. Instead of conducting affairs behind a shroud of secrecy, we ought to be doing business in the light of day and tapping into our community's resources of people who are willing to volunteer their particular expertise that may be brought to bear on a particular issue. Instead of patching our brick streets with blacktop, we should determine which brick streets are the most important to our identity and develop a plan for phasing out the rest while restoring those that we keep. Instead of expecting downtown business owners to fend for themselves, we should be partnering with them and commit to enhancing our downtown experience through the creation of a TIF district that will provide us with the funds necessary for infrastructure improvements and beautification projects in our downtown area, which is necessary to make our downtown area more appealing for new investments and for consumers. Instead of waiting for commercial and industrial opportunities to find us, we should consider having someone on staff that would help us to develop strategies for creating those opportunities and bringing commerce and industry to us. Instead of waiting for the city's issues to resolve themselves, I'm seeking re-election to help stimulate these changes in order to make my vision for our future a reality. Each of these candidates is here tonight because they believe that they have something to offer the city for the greater good, each with their own unique talents and ideas for dealing with our challenges. When the election process is over, we will know which five of us will have the duty to confront these challenges head on. But each of us, all 12 of us who are running, and everyone else with a love for the city, has a social responsibility to contribute his or her talents and ideas for the betterment of our city. That is my definition of a community, and that is Hillsborough's greatest strength and its most endearing attribute. When called into action to meet a challenge that confronts one of us or all of us, there's no scarcity of volunteers willing to step forward. My name is Chris Shearer. I accept that challenge.
Thank you, Chris. Next, William Bill Kenny, Mercer candidate. Come on up.
Thank you. As you know, I'm Bill Kenny. I'm running for commissioner. The reason why I'm running for commissioner is because I moved my family here to Hillsboro because Hills was a great community. You know, I lived and grew up around Hillsboro, and my family's from Hillsboro. You know, when I moved here, my family here, you know, my wife is from Staunton. She didn't want to move here. She thought Hillsboro, no. But when she got here, she realized how beautiful Hillsboro is, how much Hillsboro has to offer through our schools, you know, through our parks. You know, I feel that the reason why I'm running for commissioner is because I'm going to be part of this community. This community has so much to offer, and, you know, a lot of us take it for granted. I've taken it for granted over the years. You know, I didn't go out and volunteer when I should have, you know, and why I'm doing this candidacy, I've realized there was a lot of good people that put a lot of time and effort into our community that doesn't get the recognition they need. You know, I am a veteran with the Illinois Army National Guard. You know, I'm a 1997 Hillsboro High School graduate. And, you know, through what I want to do for the community is I want to try to bring in businesses back into our community. You know, my wife has started up a business here in Hillsboro. She's a photographer. You know, these are little things that we want to do. You know, I've done research. I've gone out to the water treatment plant. I've gone out to the sewer plant. I've gone out to the street plant department. And each of these departments are lacking in personnel. You know, we need to do something as a community to look for these, you know, this money to help these, you know, organizations. If we don't, then, you know, our city is going to deteriorate more and more. You know, I feel in my heart that, you know, I've prayed over this. I've, you know, many of hours of prayer, and I have a nice little speech prepared tonight, but I feel that I need to let God just come out and speak for me. And through this, I feel that I can work with anybody on the council, anybody that's a mayor candidate. You know, Chris Scheer has done quite a bit of work with Hillsboro, and he doesn't get the recognition that he probably should. You know, there's a lot of negative out there, and I commend each one of these candidates tonight, and mayor candidates, for stepping up and coming here tonight and speaking in front of the crowd and, you know, walking this line that so few people can do. You know, I was having doubts. You know, many of the candidates have doubts. And the light just came on, so I'm going to give you a little spill about myself. Yes, I am a police officer with McComas. My brother's a police officer here in Hillsboro. I am pro public safety, and I am pro Hillsboro. I love this community, and I wish the well for all the candidates, and I hope that you vote for me. If not, you know, go vote. Tell your neighbors to go vote. Because it's an opportunity of a lifetime for so many of us wanting to do well for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Our next up commissioner candidate is Paul Allen Smith.
Give me a second to get up here, people.
Take your time.
Evening, everybody. What can I say? I'm not a well-polished public speaker and everything, so just kind of bear with me. I'm a little nervous. People always ask me, why do you want to run for commission in Hillsboro? It's kind of like, well, you know what? My little girl's 12 years old. And I've not heard of it. I had the same thing I had when I was a little kid growing up. You know, town was beautiful, had lots of things to do. I've been kind of walking around town here, and everybody's concerns, you know, are like the lakes, the streets. and it's a hard thing to look at. I mean, there's no money, no financials to get anything done. City's understaffed. I mean, you got all sorts of things that can be done. So I went down and talked to Dave Boer and Ben McCoy, and they gave me a little bit of information to do. And I kind of thought, well, I called Mandalay Prison. And they said, well, they got a program that the inmates have come, you know, volunteer time, or what do you want to call it? volunteer or what? But, I mean, they told me to write a list of what needs to be done. They'd be more welcome to come help out the city, you know, with anything, you know, picking up garbage on Main Street, you know, taking the brush out from the lake, cutting trees, doing all sorts of things. That would cut a lot of costs. So then I found out there's a bunch of people volunteer, which the insurance has to think I sign a waiver for their insurance, and I mean, that's what we'd all come into, you know, give a hand. I mean, that's all it's about. So let me sit here. I lost where I was at. Don't jump scare. Okay, we got all sorts of activities downtown Hillsboro. We got old settlers, got car shows, farmers markets, little stuff like that. But I think if we have craft fairs, because I was a little kid growing up, every Saturday from 8 o'clock in the morning till about 8 at night, that Main Street was full of craft booths, food booths, all sorts of stuff. That was a few years ago, too. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. There's little stuff. Chamber of Commerce, a bunch of good people on that. You know, let's have more ideas on the radio, on TV, or commercials or something. I know that costs a lot of money. You know, the website, Facebook, Hillsboro website. I mean, there's all sorts of small things that can bring a lot of different people in town. You know, we have the facilities out the lake. We've got the, which is not state reimbursed. You got, which includes the lake, campground, chopping house. We can rent out for anything. And the Fireman's Clubhouse. That's good to have family picnics. That quicker, really, huh? You know, there's all sorts of things you can do. I mean, Forks by Point, rent that out, or use it to have family picnics, city picnics. There's all sorts of little things. You got the stage out there that nobody uses. You know, there's all sorts of little things that can bring people to the community. And one thing, the coal mine's coming in, and the least amount of money we'll be getting for the water that's used out there will be over a million gallons a day. And the most we can get is $31,500 per month, and the least is $10,000 per month, which goes back to the lake to clean it, to dredge it, to make it look a little bit better. You know, cut trees, I mean, anything. The brew pond, you put fish in it, you know, stock it back up, get that going. And there's just so many different resources we can look at, take full advantage of. But I got one thing here that's probably blow everybody's mind. I've been reading a little bit of, not to preach or anything, a little scripture here. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, a town built on top of a town built on top of a hill cannot be hidden. I believe if we all come together as a city and work together as one, this could be us. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Virgil Seaman is next on this. He was here tonight, and just prior to the start of this evening's forum, he was called to work at Your Job Hospital. So we're not going to have him with us, but he did very much want to be here. And so next on the agenda. Daniel T. Robinson.
How's everybody tonight? I hope you're all good. I have the best spot, second to last. Nobody wants to be here. I know everybody has families they want to get home to, so I'll bear with me. I'll go through this as quick as I can. My name is Daniel Robbins. I am not Danny Robinson. I have encountered that quite a bit around town. I would like to thank my amazing wife, Erica, my two sons, Neil and Balin, for all the support they've given me through this, and of course, so my supporters. I'd also like to thank Chamber of Commerce, Journal News, and the Moose for giving us the opportunity to speak. I decided to run because I was raised in Hillsboro. In the 1990s, I graduated from Hillsboro High School. I want a better town for our children, our grandchildren. I would like to bring Hillsboro back to where I remember it. There was always something to do in town, plenty of specialty shops, and I enjoyed going to town, and I really want to get that feeling back. I have 15 years of business experience. I currently manage a small business here in Hillsboro, and I have for the past 8.5 years. I believe my experience will give me the tools to help us get the city on the right path. I will maintain an open mind and open door policy. My phone and email will be made readily available. And I know this cannot be done alone. It's going to take working together as a community, and we all have to pull together to do this. Now in business. The budget has to be reviewed with all department heads. It needs to be streamlined and make cuts where we can. We cannot cut employees, and all departments are shorthanded now. What we need is revenue. We need to come together with our local business owners and residents to promote the city. We need to shop Hillsboro. The more we buy, the more revenue the city will generate. Some residents have come to me and asked about a 1% sales tax. If the residents choose to take this path, because it has to be done by the residents and voted into place, I would hope at that time we could remove the utility tax. I've also researched some small communities, currently am researching them. They have a gas tax in place that the residents do not take the burden, the travelers through the towns do. We have three Casey's, a Shell, Moto, and a Clark. Lots of through traffic, they're all sitting on state highways. Let's not forget visitors to Grand Correctional Facility. This could generate us a lot of revenue. Many citizens come to me with concerns of the dismantling of our full-time fire department. I in no way would support this. They maintain our fire department's emergency vehicles, our equipment, and dispatch our police department. If we lose them, I feel it could only hurt the city with longer response times, such as if we were to get a fire call right now. The engineer pages out the volunteers, grabs his gear, gets on the truck, goes to the scene. If he's not there, page goes out, we wait for a volunteer to get to the firehouse. Not to mention those engineers would probably be forced to leave the city to find employment. Then we'd lose the families as well, plus the revenue from those families. Whatever we do, it's not going to be a quick fix. We have a long road ahead of us. We have to come together as a whole community to turn it around. Again, thank you for your time. Remember to vote April 5th. And for those of you who are unable to make it on April 5th, you can go to Sandy Lightracer's office now to cast your vote. Again, thank you for taking time in your busy schedules to come together tonight and getting involved. This is what we need to get the city turned around if we only come together as a community and push forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Gary D. Noyes is our last commissioner candidate tonight to speak.
Good evening, and thank you all for coming out. I will be a short, sweet message. I have lived in Hillsboro my entire life, 71 years. I have seen a lot of changes, bad and good, and I think that what we need is to get our people involved and get up to the meetings after the election and keep instilled in them that we need to stay on top of everything, not just tonight, but every day as we go on through the years. I've lived here 71 years. My wife Sharon and I, we've lived at 130 South Welch Street for 46 years. And I've served in the Army. I'm a member of Mount Moriah Lodge 51 Masons. And I worked 35 years as a sheet metal worker, which I wasn't around town much. I was traveling on the road more, going to jobs here, there, and down. And we don't have much in this area to offer people. And we could try to get something, but in the times we're in right now, I think we're going to find that very hard to do. But we have to keep trying, that's for sure. But that'll end my speech for tonight, and I thank you all for coming out, and I hope to see you, and hope you can know that I'm not last on your ballot when I come to call it that.
Thank you, Gary. I was really worried early on that the 4 minutes for each candidate that we were really going to be, you don't have too much time maybe talking to everybody, but everybody's using time very efficiently and gone the distance. I think we're going to take this little break now. If I could have the mayoral candidates all come up on stage, and if you guys want to stand up for a second or so, we'll get them assembled up this way, and then we'll get started again in about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
School, Hillsboro High School, graduated in 1949,
Got married here in 1951. I've been here ever since. Except a couple of years Uncle Sam gave me a home to live in. Wasn't too good, but anyway. 1957, I met in the State Police Academy. Spent a little over 26 years as an Illinois State Trooper, retiring as a Master Sergeant in 1984. I retired overnight. I retired February the 29th. I came to the city of Hillsborough the very next morning as the Chief of Police, and I've been here ever since. It's involved in many ways in the city in the past. I'm in good health. I have the time to spend, as I don't have anyone to answer to anymore, so I will spend time with the city. Thank you.
Tim, you're a man.
Yes, thank you very much. I cannot remember when any mayoral race in Hillsborough, Illinois had anything similar to this ever in my lifetime. The opportunity here, I am overwhelmed. I am here just to provide opposition for these two young men. I'll say young men. And the opportunity came when several people in this community, after I had served Hillsborough for 25 plus years in employment, asked me if I would consider doing this, and obviously I told them they were crazy. And the more people that came up and asked me, the more interested I got. And until I had my wife's blessing was the day I turned my petition in. And I have been at your back doors, I have been at your front doors, I've been in your kitchens, I've been in your dining rooms, and the input and the insight that I've received from people is beyond my comprehension. I have incorporated ideas from many people that are sitting right here in this room right now that have a vision for Hillsborough. It is not mine. I'm not up here as a mayoral candidate so I can tell you what I can do. I am here so that I can ask you what we need to do. And believe it or not, the countless number of people have given insight and input, and some of this you may already know. Some of this may come out with these questions tonight. So I am overwhelmed. I am elated to have this opportunity, and thank you. This is something that we, whoever is elected mayor, town hall meetings should continue. We should have something similar to this continuing right on. Not just the city council meetings, but incorporating the community and everybody that's in it. Bless your hearts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Rick, the microphone is yours.
Hi, everybody. My name is Rick Lynch. A lot of you guys know me. I don't have quite a long history myself personally here in Hillsborough, but my family's been here for a long time. My father graduated in 1950 from Hillsborough High School. And it was actually him that led us here. He passed away 7 years ago, and I've been here a little longer than 7 years. We came here for his service. Him and my mom are both in a place outside of town, and when we came here to put in the rest, we fell in love with the area, and frankly, we've stayed. And since then, my family's made the investments in town. We own some properties here, and we've tried some small businesses, and it's just something we'll continue to be interested in. And that really is what has me sitting here tonight. I'm certainly not a politician. I'm a businessman. And I think we have a lot of the foundations. We're headed in the right directions with a lot of things. But I think it needs some of our direction needs some thinking outside the box, outside the line. Some of the things maybe that we thought were crazy or wouldn't work. I think there's some things that we need to look at maybe that have been afraid to be explored in the past. Make no bones about it. There's some rough times ahead still. I mean, you can look at the national economy or world economy, things that are happening today everywhere. It's not just going to be a tough road for us here. It's a tough road everywhere. It's going to be tough decisions to make. Turn on the news tonight and you'll see how they're treating some of the politicians that have just been ushered into office to make hard decisions. You're not going to keep everybody happy. You're not going to win everybody over. But they are tough decisions, and as Chris said, I'm here to make some of those decisions as well. I think it's collective decisions. It's not my vision that I want. I'd like to implore everybody's vision. I think everybody has an idea of where we're headed and what we'd like to see. And I just want to be part of taking us in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, guys, now we'll open questions. So if you would, open the first envelope. Okay, start number one. And Mr. Downs will have the pleasure or whatever of answering this question first. By Sid and then by Rick. Our number one question. We have an ordinance on the books that requires maintaining our historic brick streets. Since we had a really bad winter for streets, how do you propose to fix and maintain all of our streets?
That's a good question. I don't know much about fixing brick streets, I'll tell you that right up front, but I'd like to see that we have enough money to get them fixed. Not all of our streets are in bad shape, but some of them are. And we will have to fix them, depending on the monies available. That proper way to do, it depends on the streets. Some of our streets are, I believe, a little different condition than others, and we will have to do what we have to fix them with. And how much money will let us do it? Money is the answer, folks.
Sid, you're next.
I think we should have already fixed them, especially the area that the bike racers are going to have to deal with, that Richard Smalls contended there on Fairground Street. There are people sitting right here in this audience right now. If we would have went out a couple weeks ago, dug up the street, set the bricks over to the side of the street, it's about 14 inches down because I personally prodded it about 2 weeks ago, and about 14 inches down, this area on Fairground, it has a solid surface. You put it back with sand, and then you actually manually take the time and tamp the bricks in with a rubber mallet. That's how you fix them. And it takes a lot of time. You have a couple guys working at it, but you just do the work that it's required. If you want to fix the brick streets, motor fuel tax is the way that you do it. Motor fuel tax, we get about $14,000 a month. Currently, there's $78,000 right now in the motor fuel tax fund. You just use the qualified personnel that you currently have employed with the city, and when you want to fix something that becomes upheaved, the next day you put it on the rolls and you go fix it. And all the little blacktop areas that have been filled in, there are plenty of areas that we can get bricks out from other places. I've talked to several individuals that are under blacktop streets already. You take those bricks out, and then you have a surplus bricks, and you go maintain the brick streets and give it the historical value that it should have already been taken care of. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Rick, it's your turn.
My idea, I guess, with the streets, I think kind of goes back and reverberates a little bit what Chris said. First of all, I think they're too spread out. I think they need to be consolidated into a historical district once we decide what and where that is. Ideally, as you talk about renovating downtown Main Street, how about Brick Lake Main Street from the beginning of the street to around the courthouse? Slows the traffic down a little bit, gives you the chance to really absorb the town as we make some of the changes that we're talking about doing moving ahead. I think the fact of having back in the school, back behind the fire station, some of them have blacktop on them, some of them don't. I think I'd like to see the brick part of it picked up, restored into one area that could be maintained as a brick road. Trying to maintain it as a brick asphalt road obviously does not work very well. Many of you driving around are a testament to that as well. So I think as far as that goes, I'd like to see that consolidated and changed. Greenville alone received $14 million in TARP funds to fix the roads. So once again, I think it's one of those things, we've got to be aggressive, we've got to get our hands out there, we need to get our hand in the kitty. The money may not be there for every project, but every project that we can get our hands in and be part of, bringing some of that funds here, that's a way to certainly make improvements on some of those things for sure.
Gentlemen, if you want to open envelope number two, Sid, you will be the first person to answer this question.
And the winner is?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, that's a different party.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion in the community about layoffs and not replacing any employees who have left. And I don't say it's for many of the candidates, but there's been a lot of public discussion. What is your impression of employee staffing by department? And are there positions that could be cut, or could some employees be moved to other departments to fill vacancies?
No, no, yes, yes. I am not for anyone presently employed anywhere in the universe to lose their job, and especially in Hillsboro. What I want to do is help you do your job better. There are, seven people retired in the last 2 years. Three supervisors. And it takes about $70,000 a year to employ each supervisor. The city of Hillsboro has saved just $210,000 right there because there was not a supervisor hired back in any of those three vacancies. Four other bargaining unit people left the city of Hillsboro. I believe they hired one or two back to fill those positions. The street department is currently understaffed. There are other departments, and there are people that have talents in other areas that I think could better be utilized in making the city of Hillsboro diverse. Taking someone out of this department maybe one day and using their talents to best benefit the community. And yes, you could. I would love to be able to say that we could hire two individuals tomorrow and give two people the opportunity to have new jobs. I don't have that answer right now, but I do know that you can use the talents that we currently have in the city and utilize them in a better way, and maybe to help Jimmy May put the brick streets back together. I'm not sure, but just something. So, yes, I'm not ever in favor of laying off anybody because I don't think that's the answer.
Thank you, Sid. Rick, you're up. It's a little bit harder for me to sit here and talk about specific employees or specific departments, not being a city insider, so to speak. I can't tell you how I would handle it when I get elected. I would definitely make myself implanted, I guess, in each department, ride alongs with the police, work with Jim in the streets department. I mean, there's no better way to get out and feel for what the needs are than to actually get out and work with the people that are doing those jobs day to day. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize people for doing this or not doing that, but until you really put yourself in their shoes, walk a day with them, find out the things that they face on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, I think that's the way that needs to be approached. I certainly can't sit here today and say we need to eliminate this person or that person or change this department or that department. I think we've got a lot larger fish to fry right now than worrying about blowing up this area or that area and starting from scratch.
like I said, I think the best decision, the way I would handle it would be to work with them and take the feedback from the employees that are in those positions. Once again, the amount of people that you can put in them comes back to funding. But I think you'd have a better idea how to utilize people, and if moving people around, it helps the city accomplish their goals without somebody losing their job. I certainly think that, as Sid said, you don't really want to put people in that position in this day and age if you can. And so I think that's the way I would handle it.
Thank you. John, your turn.
Replacing city employees would be great. I know that there's departments that are understaffed. Money, again, plays a big part in personnel. And I would hope that we could eventually hire some personnel. I know that the wastewater treatment plant's operating with two people. That's not enough. The street department's sharp. So we have to see if we can afford to put some people to work. I certainly am not going to get rid of any people. That's not at all. There may be some adjustments. There may be some people better utilized, but there's nobody going to lose their jobs in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't even consider that. The staffing is the problem. If the finances are there, we will get some new employees because they certainly need it in those departments. And there's no one going to lose their job, but we will try to fill some vacancies if the finances are available.
Thank you, John. Okay, guys, number three.
Mine says, what's your favorite ice cream?
You got the wrong envelope.
Oh, shit.
I was hoping to make an easy question.
Yeah, Rick, you're going to get to answer this one first. And then John, and then Sid. Okay, ready to open? What can be done to attract business to Hillsboro?
Wow. Where do you start with a question like that? You know, there's so many things, honestly, that can be done to bring business here to Hillsboro. I certainly can't talk about it in 2 minutes, but I'm going to give the world. 11,000 cars a day go through this intersection here at Baltimore. You look at Litchfield, Greenville, Vandalia. One of the ideas, or one of the thoughts, or one of the things I notice every day, we can't accommodate one single truck here in this town, basically, as far as giving fuel for a truck driver, being able to fuel a truck or get a meal here. That's one small way, trying to figure out a way to accommodate truck traffic. Litchfield, Vandalia, Greenville, they all have that access. They all gain all the extra fuel tax from it. They gain the extra revenue of the people spending time in their town. That's one way to bring money and small businesses to go along with that. I think one of the other things, the Elko came up, and certainly that's, I guess, the closest thing we have to a big box retailer here in town. I don't know that you need to lure a bunch of other Walmart-type big box retailers, but that doesn't mean we couldn't have a Barnes & Noble, Linens and Beyond, some of those medium-style businesses that we could be brought here. One of the things we need a building block to build these mom-and-pop businesses to be able to sustain. A total mom-and-pop business is really hard to sustain without the backbone and infrastructure of larger businesses to bring those people here. Most everybody in this room, I'm sure, spends money in the communities I mentioned. How many of the people in those communities spend money in ours? It's totally a reverse trend. Until we work on being able to reverse that, and those people come from surrounding communities here to Hillsboro to spend and invest, I think we're really paddling up river. And until we are able to attract some of that foundation business here, it's going to be a long road.
All right, John.
There are many things that you can do to attract businesses. This is a small community, a community that is not going to grow by leaps and bounds and not going to have some kind of big business, I don't believe. The first step we need to do is to clean the city up in some of the areas and make it more attractive. That would certainly help to bring business into Hillsboro. I'm not just talking about Main Street front and back. I'm talking about some other areas. People look a town over before they bring anything into it. And that's something that we need to do and needs to be done up front. We have the economic development that is a source that is great, a source that you can certainly work with, and my intentions is to work with them people very closely to try to get something to come to Hillsboro. As you know, the coal mines out here, one of these days they'll be selling some coal, I hope. The sales tax, there'll be some sales tax money if it's sold within the state. And so Hillsboro could possibly have some funds that would help bring something into Hillsboro. Keeping it clean, keeping it attractive, will help bring anything here. And Lord only knows we need that. And it takes not only the Hillsboro City Council, but it takes the people in the community, the people working together to try to get anything we can get here for a small business. Work it together, we'll come up with something. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Sid, it's your turn.
Yes, thank you very much. This is a tough question. This is one that, I don't know, countless number of people have actually commented to me about this. And one of them is, why don't we have an Aldi's? Well, how do we get an Aldi's? We don't even have a place for them to go. So, but maybe down there by Alco, where, and I'm not making any preclusion to Senator Miller to drive, but what if we just extended the road, acquired a piece of property, and made a place for an Aldi's to come, and then have it there, have it ready, have it waiting, and then give them the incentives to attract them to actually do that. There are several ways, and there are several fundamental people here that know a lot about how to do that. And but the track business, John hit the nail on the head. Yeah, the first impression when they come to this town is, what do they see? Well, thank goodness that we have the bank that's going to take a part of Main Street and revitalize that. Now the rest of it, and what happens to the rest of it there on Main Street is left up to us. There are some plans in the making right now. We have a young man that took a hold of the bull by the horns and took over the Chances building, so I don't know what kind of business that he has there, but maybe there's a whole bunch of little businesses. Maybe when Ryan gets that building done there, there's four or five entities on that floor of that one building where everybody can use their talents, and you've got like, almost like a mini mall. The possibilities are endless, and those ideas have all come from you. And the other one that I've got a little bit, it's not red yet. What if we increased our population? What if we went after Schramm City that already has a 62049 zip code, and what if we incorporated them into our population and all the various homes around town, and now the private sector looks at you 9,000-10,000 people instead of 4 plus the 2 that we have in the prison. What if we had 9,000 or 10,000? How do you think the private sector would look at us then? I think that's the direction, not only with Main Street, but I think that's the direction we need to be thinking about going.
Okay, guys, open envelope number 4. John, you'll get the lead off of the answers on this question. The number 4 question is, if after you've been in office for a year, you find the city just can't continue to operate on the amount of dollars presently available. Would you be willing to support a vote of the residents to decide if the sales tax should be raised?
I don't even like to hear the word tax. We're taxed to death. That's hard to answer. If you can't operate on the amount of dollars presently available, cutting, of course, there's probably still some things that could be cut. I'll answer it this way. I would try everything in this world before I would ever think about a tax. I don't know of any other way to answer. I don't. If it came to that, I guess I would have to support a tax, but I certainly would not want to do that. I would try everything else possible. Cutting some more things in the city and doing whatever I could. I would not want a tax. Thank you.
Sid, you got it now.
If after you've been in office for a year, you find the city just can't continue to operate on the amount of dollars presently available, I would say we're spending too much money. I'm not sure, but if it took me a year to find that out, then shame on me. But let's say hypothetically that did happen, then I'd have to lean with what John says, but I wouldn't want to make that decision on my own. If you drive to Litchfield right now, you're currently paying 7.25% in sales tax, so every one of us here go to Walmart, I do, you know. Everybody does, because we do save a little money. I would let you decide. It's not my decision. Would you be willing to support a vote of the residents to decide if a sales tax should be raised? If you came and had your voice, and your voice was such that that's what you wanted to do, then I would be behind you. If that's something that you would definitely not want to participate in, then the simple fact is we're spending too much money and we shouldn't have got that one in the first place.
Thank you, Tim. Okay. Rick, it's your turn.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Sid. I think after a year, if you're not doing things and you don't have no money, then you really got some problems that really need further exploration. The second part of the question is, do you support bringing to a vote of the residents? That's the only part that I would support, because then you're putting it back on the residents to decide yes or no. Mandating no tax raise or anything like that, absolutely not. But bring it out to support of the vote of the public. I think after that year, what you'd have to do is you'd have to take your discovery and find out why those goals aren't being met. And I think that would have to be an open book policy, much like this, you know, through town hall meetings, et cetera. And let the community know why the revenue is this and the expenses are that. I think if you bring a lot more of that into the public forum, per se, and give the residents, arm them with a little bit more information than what we get sometimes, I think that gives everybody a chance to decide for themselves, I can see why that happens, or I can see why that doesn't happen. A lot of times we're not equipped with that information, so you go with the coffee shop rumor, you go with what you hear down the street, and I think we need to do a better job of putting that information out to the people. And once again, after a year, I think you certainly need to, before you can bring that to the people, explain to them why, and be able to show them in dollars and cents why this isn't being done and what needs to change. And then if the people are in support of the program and the direction you're moving, once again, like I said, there's going to be some hard choices to make. And that's not everything is going to fix itself overnight. If that's sacrificed by everybody to pay a little bit more here and there, you know, I think those are things that everybody's going to have to look inside their own self, inside their own house. How do you move forward? We're not going to move forward by just standing still. It's going to take not just the support of the people, but the, you know, the support of the communities. Wallet, so to speak, is talks as much as the your time does sometimes, and those are things we're going to have to look at as we go down the road too. Thank you.
Okay, this is probably the time you guys have all been waiting for. It's the last question. So go ahead and open up the envelope. Sid, you're going to be first on this one. Name one specific project you believe the council could accomplish during your first year of office that would improve the city.
Okay. The answer to this question I found out the other day at a some folks' house, and it's directly related to sidewalks. And she had an idea that when the coal mine pays to repave Smith Road, I believe it's where the new water plant is right now, I believe there should be a 4-foot sidewalk down Smith Road. And then down City Lake Road, all the way to where Rex built his daughter a house where the country club starts. A sidewalk right there. Motor fuel tax can be used for all sidewalks, storm drains, different things along roadsides. And then correlating, and I've already done this with the sports complex and a couple people, and that's to have a blacktop that adjoins the corner where you left off the sidewalk, down by John Rapp's property where the sports complex ends, and then the blacktop goes all the way around the sports complex, comes back to where the country club starts, and it's called a walking path. It's not my idea. It's what I learned by people in the community because of the number of people that are out there in the summertime. Besides, maybe you've never been to the sports complex, but now you want to walk a mile and a half, and there's a place for you to actually do that. If I'm the man on the concrete trowel, then I'll invite you to come and help me, because I think, based upon that request, I think it's the best idea that I've heard as far as just a simple infrastructure plan, and I will ask you for your help. And if anybody thinks that's a good idea, then we'll see if we can do it in that first year.
Thank you, sir. Rick, you're up.
I guess one project that keeps coming back to mind, and I'm not really sure how we drive it home, but alternative fuels and alternative energies are something that's it's going to be a must in our future, not just globally, nationally, but locally here as well. And I think we need to be at the forefront of trying to bring some business here to support some of those technologies through the Casey's, through the Shell stations, where we might be one of those E83 fuel ups, where we might have those electric posts that you can plug your new Chevy Cruze into. I'd like to see that be first and foremost, but a second part of the project that I've been enamored with since I lived in Florida years ago, this is golf cart ordinance. I think it's a great alternative vehicle. I think it's perfect for a small town like ours to be able to get around town. Obviously, when you're looking at gas going down $4 to $5 a gallon, if you can plug your golf cart in and go home and take it down to the IGA or the Aldi's or somewhere else in town, drive it through Main Street to the movies, and there's whole communities in Florida built around golf carts. And I think it's just a neat alternative. Whether everybody would come out and support it and buy one, once again, that's your own idea. But I think energy use and conservation is certainly the green topic is something we certainly need to look at building in and supporting as well.
Thank you. John, you get to conclude for us on the questions.
Okay. I believe that in the first year in office, we could accomplish something that would definitely improve and help the city, and that is our present lake. I believe that we can expand and increase the camping sites at our present campground, and I believe that we can again use the adjoining pond out there for to get our lake stocked again. And I believe this can be accomplished. The campground can be enlarged, should be enlarged. And I believe that this can be done in a year's time. Any project that you're going to take over is going to have to go according to what the finances are going to let you do. But if we increase the campground, we get the lake back into a fishing area, that's going to bring some more people to town, more business maybe, and that's what we're looking for. That's what I'm looking for, something to come to town, people coming into town. Did you ever stop and think about the people that come to the courthouse, into this town, and look at it every day? Not just people that has a paying a fine, it's people going to the courthouse for a business. And they come to town, they spend money. Let's do something that will bring something into town. And I believe in a year's time that we could help our campground and our lake and bring a little more into the city. Thank you.
I know these guys are probably getting tired of sitting up here. We're down to the last bit of our forum, and this will be the final comments. We're going to go by order of ballot again, and each candidate will get 2 minutes apiece to talk about whatever they want to talk about, issues, how they want to run, anything that suits your heart's desire. They have 2 minutes. John, you get to start.
Thank you. In closing, I would like to touch on a couple of things. One of them is the infrastructure of the city, something that needs to be looked after very closely. And I'm talking about streets, curbs, sidewalks, water, sewer lines, been in the ground for 100 years. Folks, there's going to come a day, and we need to look at and try to come up with a system, a way that we can do some of this on a yearly basis, if nothing else. So much this year, so much next year. Can we come up with enough for any kind of a building reserve, maybe for an emergency? I don't know. But if something needs to be looked at, we need to look closely at our infrastructure to try to get it back in a good condition. It's going to take time and work, and we have the people that can do that work. We've got a city with some awful good employees in it, know what they're doing. In closing, remember that what we do today will have a great effect on our future. Let's look to the future for Hillsboro, folks. Look for the future, and let's all, the community, let's all work for it. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Sid, it's your turn.
Thank you. The city of Hillsboro works on about an $8 million annual budget. Now, that's probably a little more than what you have in your household, but the principle should be the same. If you spend too much money, you're not paying your bills. And I'm sure you don't do that in your house, the city of Hillsboro should act and operate the exact same way. There is money in the city of Hillsboro. I think that not only the present council, but the council in past have been frugal, maybe not in every area that we would like for them to be in, but they have done some and made some good decisions, and they're not going under, they're not in the red. There's $114,000 in the lake restoration fund right now that can be utilized for something similar to what this gentleman just talked about.
there's a lot of money in a lot of different areas. It's just the way that it's spent. It's the way that you utilize it. And we live, and I will match this community with any other community comparable in the nation. When times get tough, we actually help each other. It's never been a question. We don't get along all the time, but I believe that we always know what is right, and we do what is right. And every one of you should be commended just by being here this evening. And it's an awesome thing to know that there's this many people that are interested right here about our community and the direction that we want to go. So, and just having the opportunity, like I said before, I'm overwhelmed just to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Rick, your turn.
I think this comes down to this election, and as Sid said, I'm thankful to be part of it. I ended up as a write-in candidate because I kicked the idea around for so long whether I even wanted to entertain getting this involved in the community. And I said, there's no time like the present. We're on top of so many good things that are really starting to turn the corner, and I think the bank project is really going to be a surprise and a boom for this town. I think it'd be silly for us not to capitalize and try to make as many things coincide with their changes. I think the city has to continue to be a very integral part of that project. Standing on the sidelines and watching is not going to accomplish anything. It is going to move us where we need to go. If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And John talked about when he came in the room, you know, it takes everybody being involved. Everybody putting herself out there. It's going to take some thinking outside the box. Again, I think the traditional ways, the good old boy network, some of those kind of things have to sit by the wayside, and we really need to take a look at what's going to move our city forward. Not only is this a great retirement community with the things that it has to offer when you come here for that, but it's a great community to raise kids in. We have some wonderful school groups. Talking about fishing in the lakes, fast fishing is not a high school sport, so who would like to start that program up? There's just a lot of really cool things that we can take advantage of. We have a lot of the building blocks to start with, and I think if we just consensusly build things together through a community's vision, one of my ideas on top of that is that certainly to have an open door policy. I don't think anybody should be intimidated by the process of joining or coming to the city hall, coming to a city council meeting. I don't think anybody should be left out of that. I've been to some of the meetings where you're the only person there. And, you know, those kind of things people shouldn't be intimidated by, but encouraged to participate in. And I think that's how we move forward as a city, as one vision together, not just one individual vision.
First off, I want to thank these three gentlemen for being involved and wanting to be part of the solution for the town. If I could also give all the gentlemen that are running for commissioner, could you folks all come up and stand in front here for us also? There's ulterior motive. So don't worry, just stand up, face the audience, please. Again, I want to thank all of you for your contribution to the education of our voters this evening, and also for being wanting to be part of the solution for our town. The ulterior motive is I need everybody up here so I can take a picture for the paper. So that's why I thought I'd get you all here before I have to start herding cats again or something. But anyway, to our audience, the candidates have assured me they all want to stay around for a while. I did say you'd have an opportunity to talk to them one-on-one. Any questions, I think, are open for everybody to answer. I don't think anybody's too shy. They've done a really good job of not answering questions. So I just want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank Leslie and the Chamber for all the heavy work they did getting this thing assembled. Tobin with the Moose Club. It was really important. I thought it was very important we have it here because this is downtown Hillsboro. I think our downtown represents a chunk of what our town is, and it's just a block away from City Hall. So I thought this was appropriate to do it here also. But again, thanks everybody. Thanks to my timers. And if you guys would stay around a little bit and mingle, I am going to take a picture of these guys real quick, and then you can get on with it. But again, thank you again for coming, and make sure everybody goes out to vote. It's very important.